Hey guys, welcome back to the Wisdom and Stuff podcast. I'm your host, Daryl Boucher, and this is where we cut through the Christianese and tradition-based thoughts that hinder us from the limitless lifestyles that we as actual children of God are designed to walk in. So let's go ahead and dive into the Word and see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Well, welcome back, Wisdom and Stuff Podcast. This is Daryl Boucher, and it's a glorious day to be on the earth and to carry His kingdom into the earth. And, you know, I don't say that lightly. I don't say that just out of rhetoric or tradition or habit. We literally are carrying the kingdom of God into the earth, and we need to be very aware of that. That's really the reason why we're on the earth. We are on the earth to allow heaven to be demonstrated into this world. And, you know, Jesus said in John 17 that we are not of this world as He is not of this world. Just as much as He is not of the world, we are not of this world. We don't have like, we are not like partly from this world and partly from heaven. No, it says Jesus is not of this world as we are not of this world. Praise God. And it says, and just as He was sent into the earth, so we are sent into the earth. So we carry the same mandate. We carry the same DNA. We carry the same the same calling, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus has. And here we are on the earth with the power of the name of Jesus. Praise God. Now, if you know, I did some podcasts earlier about just the name of Jesus. I just want to encourage you to go back and listen to those if you haven't already. I want to get into today just going over one of the prayers in Ephesians. And there's some great prayers in the New Testament. There's some good ones in the Old Testament, obviously, as well. But the New Testament prayers have more to do with our identity in Christ. Paul, of course, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, had a revelation of what happened through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus on an identity level that really we don't see in anybody else's writings. I'm not saying they didn't have the revelation, but God showed them other things. And so, and I'm sure they did have this revelation. But even even like the Apostle Peter in the book of 2 Peter, I believe it is, you know, Peter makes comment about the writings of Paul. And he said, some of them are hard to understand. You know, so here Peter is, you know, pillar of the church. Peter, you know, the great, you know, whatever, upon this rock I'll build my church, Peter guy, you know, that guy. You know, here he is. You know, he's saying, yeah, some of the things that Paul says, they're hard to understand, you know. But it's because there's such a revelation in these things, and they're by the Holy Spirit, and of course we can draw more and more out of them every day. Revelation is progressive. And so even what Paul wrote, he didn't know everything he was writing. He was writing by the Holy Ghost. And so he was writing things by the Spirit that were going to be, you know, limitless, and they're going to be in heaven with us, praise God. And so he didn't know everything he was writing. He just knew what the Holy Spirit put on his heart, and he allowed the Holy Spirit to do that. And so that's the same way, you know, when we're teaching, when we're doing different things, there's just levels and layers to these things, and there's always more. You know, you can get something out of what is taught or spoken or prophesied, and it could be different than what somebody else gets out of it, because it's, number one, written personally and spoken personally to you, but also your relationship with the Holy Spirit is different, and so He's going to show different things. But with this, though, I want to go into the Ephesians 3 prayer, and it starts in Ephesians 3 and in verse 14, and these prayers are really, really important for us. It's one thing to just pray them; it's another thing to receive these prayers. These are prayers that have been, you know, obviously Paul prayed these prayers when he's writing this book over 2,000 years ago. And so he's writing this book, and as he's writing this letter to the church of Ephesus, he's writing this letter, and as he's writing it, he's praying, and he says, here's what I pray for you. And he begins to write down basically what, you know, it doesn't mean that he prayed this as a mantra. It just means this was the heart expression of his prayer for them. And that's important for us to know too, that when prayers become mantras, we're just trying to be heard for our many words, or we're just trying to we have a liturgy where we're just saying the same thing over and over again. That doesn't really help anything if your heart's not connected to it. Now, you can say the same thing, you know, 50,000 times, and each time your heart be connected to it. You can do that, but most of the time that's not what happens, right? Most of the time, if we say something over and over again, we kind of get into a habit or a routine of it, and our heart gets disconnected from it. And so that's why we have to we have to purpose with our heart to do certain things. And even, you know, familiarity will literally choke out honor a lot of times because, you know, just like within our family, you know, we tend to honor the people closest to us the least amount when we should be honoring them the most. But familiarity is what kind of tries to choke out honor in our lives because we see these people every day. We know their, you know, we know their flaws. We know what irritates us about them. We know, you know, things they need to change. You know, we know all these different things about them. And so we don't really, you know, we don't honor them as much as we do somebody that we just literally just meet, you know, or, you know, it's funny because, you know, I travel and minister, and sadly, most of the time when I'm going to churches, people honor me more than they honor their own pastor. And I don't like that, you know, and it's like, it doesn't mean it's to me, it shows them they have the capacity to honor, but most of the time they're not honoring their own pastor the way they honor me. It's because they're familiar with their pastor. And so the funny thing is they'll get so much out of an itinerant or a guest speaker coming in, and they'll be like, oh, that was so good. I got so much out of that, and da 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 da. And most of the time, even though there might be different things that are shared, most of the time that guest speaker is saying the same basic message as your pastor was sharing, you know, and yet you haven't heard. It's like, you know, when kids go to college or they whatever, get some kind of mentor, and they're like, oh man, they said this and they said this, I thought it was so awesome, and their parents have been telling that for 20 years, right? But they don't honor their parents. They don't receive from their parents the way they do from some stranger who walks up and says something so profound that their parents have been saying for 20 years. And it's because there's a lack of honor through familiarity. And even, you know, obviously Jesus saw that in his life, didn't he? Where he said, yeah, a prophet's not without honor except in his own country, right? And they're like, well, you know, he's speaking, and he is speaking by the Holy Spirit. He's speaking, you know, the perfect words of God spoken in love by the power of God, and signs and wonders follow him, and they're like, but who is this guy? We know, wait a minute. His dad was Joseph, his mom was Mary. Aren't they still here with us? Who is this son of the carpenter? See, so they were saying that he could only be so anointed because we're familiar with his family. And so he says he couldn't do any mighty work there. And so their lack of honor literally choked out the anointing that was available to them to receive the very things they desired. So my question in that, and my goodness, I kind of got off on something there, but it's really good stuff. My question in that is, who in our life did God put in our life to literally carry anointings into our life and blessings and graces into our life that we could partake of, but we're not partaking of them because we're not honoring them, right? Where we look at them as familiar. And so, you know, I remember one time I was, my goodness, I'm getting off on this, so I don't even know if I'm, anyway, it doesn't matter, we're doing it, it's by the Holy Ghost. I remember one time I was at church, and I was in Eugene. I was the associate pastor there for quite a while, and I was talking to a guy there who was, you know, he was a member of the congregation, nice guy, and he had a problem, and he's like, oh yeah, hey, and we're talking about talking after service, and he was waiting to talk to Pastor Brian, and because, you know, Pastor Brian was talking to some other people, and so he was waiting to talk to Pastor Brian, and he goes, and so I just start talking to him, and he goes, yeah, I need to talk to Pastor Brian, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool, you know, and so he starts sharing what's going on. And the thing is, the Spirit of the Lord came up on the inside of me, and I knew exactly what he needed. I mean, I literally, this was by the Holy Ghost. This wasn't something that was just like, oh yeah, I kind of think I know what's going on here. No, this was by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit came up on the inside of me and had the exact thing that this guy needed. And I'm standing right there, right? And so we're talking, and I said, okay, well, here's what I think I need. Here's what I really believe you need to hear from this. And I began to speak, and his eyes glazed over, and I could tell he was not receiving anything that I had to say. And that didn't offend me at all, because I could just tell he wanted to hear from Pastor Brian. He wanted to hear from the senior pastor, not the associate pastor. And so now, whether or not that, you know, I don't know every thought that he had toward me, I don't know, but that was kind of what I got out of it. And I might be totally wrong about his motive in that, or why, you know, he glazed over. Maybe, who knows why? Maybe I had a big giant thing, you know, celery in my mouth or something like that, and he was distracted by what was in my teeth. I don't even know. But the point of it is that he glazed over, you know, and I could tell what I was saying to him was literally this hitting a brick wall. I mean, I could feel it. And, it, you know, if you've been around people like that, you know what that's like, right? It's like, oh, there is nothing going past this giant wall between he and I. And so I just stopped talking. And I was like, okay, well, you know, have a good evening, whatever. And I could tell he literally was just so focused on going and meeting up with Pastor Brian after service. And nothing wrong with that. Pastor Brian, you know, hey, he's got the anointing to pastor, you know. And I just literally, I walked away from there just praying that he would get what he received, what he needed to receive from Pastor Brian or whoever else. But what it grieves my heart, because I you know, you just realize he's limited God from answering what he needs to, you know, a certain source. And we do that. And it challenged me that night, because I was like, okay, Lord, you know, what have I shut off? Am I not listening to my spouse the way I'm supposed to? In other words, am I not listening to Rachel the way I'm supposed to listen to her? Am I not listening to, you know, obviously our kids? Am I not listening to our, you know, the people around me? Am I not listening to those people who are, you know, students in school and stuff that I'm teaching? You know, who am I not honoring? And I'm choking the anointing, you know, from flowing through them into my life. And so, I just want to encourage you right now. Just when we're, you know, I know I take a giant detour on some stuff here, but this is really important. Honor is key, okay? And honor is what allows the anointing to flow from the brethren. And so when I begin to honor somebody, I'm literally putting them above myself. And I'm literally saying, okay, I actually, right now, I'm putting, you know, the anointing on them above the questions in me. In other words, I'm willing to receive from them, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. I'm willing to receive from them. And, you know, the Lord has used, I've not been perfect at this, oh my lands. I've had to grab my stupid soul by the scruff of its neck so many times just to learn to honor people, you know, at a very intentional way. Because I know this. I found this out about honor. It's never convenient. Okay, it's not on my way anywhere. It actually takes me out of the way. I literally have to go out of my way to honor people. And to honor people, it's purposeful, it's intentional, and it's inconvenient. Okay, and this is, you know, it's not habitual ever. We can honor people. Like Jesus said, oh, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. In other words, you're saying the right things. You're calling me rabbi. You're calling me master. You're giving me respect, you know, when you come up to me and you ask me questions, but your heart is so far from me. And so he's saying there's a level of honor that's a surface level of honor, and then there's the heart honor, and that's what's actually going to do something, right? And so it's like, you know, with my wife, you know, one thing that I do for her is, and I just do it as a point of honor. I open the door for her. You know, when we get out in and out of the car, I'm usually the one driving, I'll get out and I'll open the door for her so she can get out. And it doesn't mean that here's another thing about honor. Honor has nothing to do with the person's ability. She is more than capable of opening her own door, right? She is more than capable of that. And yet I'm doing it for her, not because she can't do it, not because I think that she's so weak and feeble that I have more strength than me to open a door than she has. That is actually dishonoring, right? I literally know she has the ability to open that door, but I want to open for her because I believe as long as I'm here, she shouldn't have to. And I just do it as a token of honor. But what if I were to, number one, I've been doing it for so long now, you know, I've been doing it for almost 30 years now. And so now what I have to do is I have to make sure I'm not doing it from habit. I have to make sure I'm not doing it from routine, you know, and you know, it's cool when I see other guys opening car doors and stuff like that for their wives and for their moms and stuff like that. I think that's awesome. But that wasn't something I grew up with. I didn't grow up with that at all. I you know, obviously I just came up with it when I was in my 20s. Like, you know, when I get married, I'm going to open the door for my wife. I'm going to open the door for, you know, a building if she's walking in. If I'm going to open the car door, whatever. I want to honor her in that way. It's a very small thing to do, but when it comes out of my heart, then it becomes something bigger. And it actually opens up a channel of higher anointing and communication between her and I. But if I just do it habitually after 30 years, I just do it because I just do it. That's what I do. It's a habit. There's no honor in that anymore. And so, You know, honor is purposeful. That's why, like I said, familiarity tries to choke out honor. But honor is intentional. Honor is purposeful. Honor is a heart thing, not just a word thing, not just an action thing. It's a heart thing. If I went, I opened up the door for my wife, you know, and I said, "Oh, get your butt out of here," you know, well, there's no honor in that. Even though I was opening the door for her, but I told her, "Get her butt out of the car," you know, that would be ridiculous. But you see, that's how sometimes people do. Is they're doing something out of obligation for somebody else, or they do what's expected of them or whatever, but they're not doing it from their heart. And so they're literally choking the anointing that actually that relationship is designed to carry. There's an anointing between not just husband and wife, but there's an anointing between, coworkers at your work or your boss and employee. There's anointings between pastors and congregations, or there's anointings between brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's an anointing that literally God has designed to flow back and forth between us, so that the things that you know, the brotherhood is so strong. In fact, I'm getting on stuff, but the word brother, you know, in the Hebrew is the pictorial term for brother is, it's a strong ox wall. That's what it is. That's the way it's rendered. Strong ox wall. In other words, there is a wall that my brother will actually build up, not between he and I, but between me and the enemy. Okay, and my brother standing with me, it forms a strong ox wall. It's like this ox wall between me and anything that might try to come against me. Praise God for brotherhood and sisterhood and just the body of Christ. But that is formed through honor. And so when I dishonor people and I don't actually value them higher than myself, and I don't actually look, I mean, one of the great ways we can honor people is look for the gifts in them. Yeah, we can honor them by just, you know, if you just have somebody on your heart, you text them, you say, you know, whatever, praise God, thank you, you know, for what you do, whatever. You can appreciate them. You can show them acts of kindness. You can show them words of affirmation. You can do all kinds of those types of things. And those are all very honoring if they're coming from your heart. But you can also be like, okay, can I actually look for the gift in them? Can I look for the gift in them? And can I actually equip the gift? Can I tell them, hey, I noticed this about you. I noticed that you're really kind, or you're really gentle, or you have such a servant's heart, or you're so faithful, or I can just begin to lift up their gifts, you know, and what that does too is it will literally, the more you do that if you need to start it in prayer, say, Lord, I've prayed for people and say, Father, I want to honor them, but I honestly, you know, I'm not trying to be a jerk about this, but I can't think of anything that I can literally, like, you know, pull out and say, hey, this is a great quality that they have. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's just that I have not trained my heart to be aware of what's good coming out of them. That's shame on me, man. I shouldn't have carry all that stuff around, obviously. But when I give that to God and I say, okay, God, I don't want that in my life anymore. I want to honor these people. And so show me, and he'll show you. He'll show you. It might start with something that you might think is small. You know, maybe they're just on time all the time, or maybe they show up and their hair is combed. Good job. Your hair is combed every time I see you. You know, I don't care. Start with something. But even in your prayer time, I'm not saying, you know, you walk up to them and say, boy, I really appreciate you combing your hair every day. I mean, that's kind of, you know, ridiculous, unless the Lord tells you to do that. But I'm just saying, even in your prayer time, you begin to lift them up. You begin to lift them up and say, man, I'm just thankful that they take the time to have good hygiene, because some people don't. Anyway, but, you know, you honor people, though. And with that, though, that will literally drive out the spirit of offense. You will be so hard to be offended that you won't even know what offense looks like after a while, because you have such you've cultivated a spirit and an environment of honor in your heart and your mind. And so you're always looking to lift people up. You're always looking to find the best. Love believes the best over everything. And so you're always looking to do that. And so when we honor people, though, we access the anointing that's on the inside of them. We pour our anointing into them. We tear down walls of offense. We bring up, we actually build walls that protect against the strategies of the enemy. You know, I mean, I love it when people say, hey, I've been praying for you. Praise God, pray for me, because I have blind spots. And I love it when other people pray for me, because they're not seeing the same things I'm seeing. And I love it when they pray for me. I love that. And I want to be able to do that for other people. I want to be like, man, I lifted them up in prayer today, and man, I saw that there was a strategy of the enemy The enemy might have been planning this for 15 years. The enemy had been digging a big ditch that they were going to fall into for 15 years. And here a brother comes along in prayer, sees the ditch, and says, nope, I pray against that right now. And so that allows a grace and an anointing to come upon that person I'm praying for, and they avoid the ditch altogether. Praise God. You see how good this is. This is honor. This is brotherhood. This is who we are. But it means that we have to stop doing things just out of tradition and habit. And like I said, honor is on purpose. Honor is not convenient. It's not on my way anywhere. Honor is the thing is also about honor is it's on their, it, number one, God tells me how to honor people. Honor's not on my terms. Okay, that's what I'm trying to get to. Honor is not on my terms. Honor is on God's terms and maybe on their terms. In other words, if they're literally saying, hey, this is what would honor me, do that thing. You know, even if honor is not about my value systems, honor is about God's value system and about their, you know, and about what would bless them, not about me. We can get into a rut of trying to honor people on our terms. You know, I know people that really think that they honor people, but most of the time they honor people on their terms. And so most people don't walk away from them feeling honored at all. You know, and so it's like to them that would seem honoring. And they really believe that they're honoring people, but they're not. They're actually dishonoring people because they're trying to put them in their box. And they're saying, well, this is how honor should look. Honor looks how God wants it to look. I submit myself to God to honor people on his terms, not on mine. It would be like if I you know, gave Rachel a brand new skill saw, you know, for Christmas. That doesn't honor her. That would honor me because I'd like a new saw. I like new tools, you know. So, but I don't. I honor her on her terms, right? I find out what she wants. I find out what's going to bless her, and I honor her on her terms, not on my terms. And so that's one of the things about honor is we go to God and we're like, okay, how can I honor them? What is going to honor them right now? Allow your honor to be on God's terms. And like I said, if somebody's vocalizing something that might honor them, you know, go to God and say, God, is that something I'm supposed to do? And be open to something that maybe you don't value right away, because that's what honor does. Honor is about changing your value system and saying, I'm going to value what they value. I'm going to value them enough to actually, look at what they're saying and what they're valuing in the eyes of respect. What happens a lot of times is we dishonor people because their currency is not our currency. And so we literally will degrade their currency in our own eyes and we'll devalue what they value in our own eyes. And like I said, I'm not saying that you know, everybody that, you know, I'm not saying everybody around us has the right value system. What we need to do is we need to go to God and say, here's what they're valuing, Father. How can I honor them in your eyes? How can I honor them in your eyes? And he'll show how to do it the right way. And so, Father, right now, I just thank you, Lord God, just for honor. I know I didn't get into Ephesians 3 at all, but I just thank you for honor. And I thank you for something that you've invited us into that is so good and so rich, and it allows the blessing to flow. It allows the anointing to flow at such a high level. And I just thank you, Father, that you can just open our eyes up as the body of Christ, that we honor one another, that we put each other above each other, and above ourselves. And I just thank you right now, Lord God, just teach us how to honor the people closest to us, that we can honor our spouses, we can honor our children, we can honor our brothers and sisters, we can honor our families, we can honor the people who bug us the most, Lord God, that we can just honor those people. Father God, and I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom and Stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to get new updates and check out our podcast page on Podbean to find all our previous posts and full-length messages. We'll see you next time and have a blessed day.